Welcome to the Father's Vineyard Audio Podcast. Here is today's message.
Well, I'm going to be talking a little bit about God's goodness. You know, we're going to explore this a little bit today, and sometimes we see the trials and the troubles and the difficulties that we go into and we're feeling and we're experiencing. And we see all of those things as large things, and they are to us. But sometimes they appear to be so big that we minimize how good God is. We don't mean to, but sometimes we're overwhelmed with things that we go through, when he wants us to be overwhelmed with his goodness. How many of you can say, God is good to you? He is good to me. He's good to you. I mean, he is good. The goodness of God should overwhelm us as we get to thinking about it. Over in Psalm 145:7, it says this: they shall eagerly utter the memory of thy abundant goodness. The memory. How many of you have memories of God's goodness in your life? How many of you will say, God's been good to me today? It is God's goodness that should overwhelm us no matter what we go through. Because the psalmist, you know, it's David, he said, they shall eagerly utter. Can't wait to say it about how his abundant goodness is in your life. He said, and they shall shout joyfully for his righteousness. In other translations, it says that this eagerly utter means to gush forth. It means to be uncontainable. It means that you'll be celebrating how good God is to you. It also means, in one translation, it says that you shall pour forth like a fountain. That there'll be a fountain that just pours forth out of us when we think of God's goodness in our life. It's one of the fruit of the Spirit that we've been talking about. We need to understand that he makes all these available by his presence in our life. If we have the Spirit of God, we have all this fruit, all his nature that is available for us to live out in our soul. They're already present in our spirit. But he has made that available for each and every. Ain't he good? Ain't he good? I know it's not good English. Ain't he good? He is so good. Another translation, I think it's out of the Passion, it says this: our hearts bubble over as we celebrate the fame of your abounding goodness. Is your heart bubbling over because of God's goodness today? But see, yeah, see, we can choose to bubble over with worry, anxiety, fear, irritation, aggravation. We can bubble over with that. Or we can choose to bubble over because of his overwhelming goodness in our lives. No matter what we're going through, no matter what we're facing, his goodness is so strong that it can change things in just a matter of just a few moments. Sometimes we tend to put him and his goodness in a place that when I'm overwhelmed with this other stuff and my heart's bubbling over because of with anxiety or fear, but it's full of that. And then sometimes we put God's goodness, it's just not enough. We don't say those words, but sometimes we live those words out. It's just enough for me to survive. God doesn't give you stuff to survive. He's not just enough, God. He's not just enough. He don't give you just enough. When he does miracles, he does the fullness of it. When he starts showing his goodness, he don't give you just enough to get by. So we have got to live beyond this thing of I just barely got by. No, we didn't. He gave you more than that. He's more than enough. His goodness is more than enough. He's a more than enough God. When he multiplies things, he has stuff left over. So we'll choose what we remember about God concerning his goodness. David said about his goodness, he said, surely, you know what surely means? Absolutely, without a fact, and it's guaranteed. Surely, what's the rest of it? Surely, goodness and mercy shall follow me. Surely goodness, surely mercy shall follow me. When I'm good, his goodness shows up. No. You don't need to believe that. His goodness is always present. And it doesn't leave when you and I are not good. Because he said, surely, as a matter of fact, absolutely, it's guaranteed. Surely, goodness and mercy shall follow. That word follow, follow is a good word. But you know what it means in the Hebrew? It means to chase after, to run after, for the sole purpose of overtaking you. What's doing that? His goodness and his mercy. It's chasing, it's pursuing you, and you cannot outrun it. The hounds of heaven chasing after you. You know, they are chasing. I've had the hounds of hell after me a few times. You know what I'm saying? I mean, but listen, they give up. God never does. Guaranteed. We have to get this in us. Surely, absolutely, it's not part-time. It's all the time. It's every moment of every day. It's every moment of your life being lived. He's pursuing. He is chasing. He is running after you with his goodness and his mercy. Ain't he good? And he says, all the days of my life. How many of you have had a bad day? Oh, you've had a bad day. I was telling some of I said these you sit over here. I was telling some of them they were coming in and their kids and it's Chrissy and them. And I was telling the kids, I said, you know what? They're just coming in. I said, you know what I do when I press this button? And it's coming in. And I said, no. And I went. You know what to do with it to begin with, but I shake. See, the thing is, we're always pressing God's button. Why? Because his heart beats for his love for us. And he makes it clear to us, no matter what you're going through, no matter what you're feeling, no matter what you're facing, my goodness and my mercy is going to overtake you and overwhelm you all the days of your life. Now, my question is this. How was he so sure about that when he penned those words? How was he so sure? What's verse 1 say of that passage? I'm not going to tell you what it is. You know what it is. What's the first verse of that? The what? The Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. I shall not lack from him. That word is. It's all according to what the definition of is. If y'all remember way back. But the word is not in the original. That's what the translators added. So if you take that out, you're not doing any damage because it's not in the original Hebrew. So you take that out, what does it say? The Lord, my shepherd. It goes from a statement when you put the it's sort of like a statement, but when in the original, it's not like a statement. It is a proclamation and a declaration that he's making. The Lord, my shepherd, I will have no lack. Surely goodness and mercy will chase me down and overtake me every day of my life. Now, that's a perspective that we really need to get inside of us. But you don't know what I'm going through. It's guaranteed. Look at you. I just noticed you. It's good to see y'all. We're glad you're here. Miss you. That's great. I mean, my heart's bubbling now because I'm seeing some of the people from out of the ashes here. You know, it's like, man, my heart's just bubbling. Why? His goodness and his mercy is overtaking me again. So this thing about surely goodness. I have a guarantee. You have a guarantee in your life. That God's goodness and God's mercy is in hot pursuit of you. Not just to be running, but is in pursuit to have the result, and the result is for you to be overtaken, overwhelmed by him. By his goodness. By his mercy. How many of you have felt the mercy of God in your life? Come on, come on, come on. The mercy of God. You didn't deserve it, but you got it. I got it. goodness and mercy overtaken us all the days, not just every once in a while. You know, and not to the fact, you know, I hadn't been too good today, so I don't feel much of his goodness. Well, that's your filler's broken. How many days have you ever felt not saved? Your filler's broken. See, we put a lot of things on how we feel and how we do. And he said, I've got all that covered. Amen. His goodness, his mercy. That's the reason David was able to say, my heart bubbles over. In that other translation, my heart bubbles over when I remember the abundant, the abounding goodness of God. Moses said this over in Exodus 33. He said, I pray thee, show me thy glory. I pray thee, show me your glory. Have you ever asked God to show you? Show me what I'm supposed to do next. Show me what I'm supposed to say next. Show me how I'm supposed to act next. Show me. How many of you ever prayed a show me prayer? He's fine with that. Show me, Lord. Show me. See, Moses says, show me thy glory. Show me, oh Lord, show me your glory. Now, here's a question I want to ask you. What put that devastating desire? He was full of it. He wanted it so bad for the Lord to show him. What happened for him to get there? You want to know? You probably already know. What happened for him to get so desperate to cry out to God, Lord, show me your glory? You want to know? He had been on the mountain for 40 days and 40 nights with God. The people thought he stayed too long. Matter of fact, they didn't know what happened to him. So they still wanted a God, not the God. They still wanted a God. So they took up all the gold or the earrings and the bracelets and the necklaces that they brought from Egypt, and they melted it down. And Aaron said, and out came this calf. What a lame statement. Have you ever had any of those lame statements in your life when God asks you about something in your life? All I know is it just showed up. When we're the one that made it, we're the one that manufactured it, we're the one that built it. How many of y'all ever had those moments where, God, I don't really know why. I don't really know why this thing showed up. Oh, yes, you do. So they started worshiping the very thing that they made. Oh, my goodness. They started worshiping the thing that they made. Moses comes down, sees that, he says this, and he saw that the people were out of control. You know what? You know when people get out of control? When they have no vision of the true God. The people who have no vision, and that word in Proverbs, when they have no vision, no prophetic insight of who God is, you get out of control. You sort of do what you want to do. That's taking place. He's got the commandments, and he breaks the commandment. He just throws them down and breaks the commandment, symbolizing that if you break one in the law, what does he say? You're guilty of breaking all of them. That's the reason we can't follow the law and succeed in our walk with God. We have to have his grace and his presence. So that begins to happen, but that's not all. That bothered Moses real bad, but that's not all. Well, what else happened? He goes on and he said, matter of fact, about 3,000 people died that day. Then the Lord said this. Listen to this. Then the Lord said this over in Exodus 33. He tells Moses, he said, Moses, I want you to get up and I want you to depart from this place. And he said, you and the people whom you have brought up from the land of Egypt. And I want you to take them to the land which I promised to Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. I want you to get up from here. And I want you to take the people. And I want you to take them to the place that I promised them that they would have. Saying to your descendants, I will give it to you. Told you, I swore to you that I'd give it to you. I'll give it to you. Well, that's good. That's great. Then he says this, I will send an angel before you. I want you to take the people, you head over to the promised land, and I'm going to send an angel before you, and I will drive out your enemies, all the Canaanites, the Hittites, the Amorites, the Perizzites, the Hivites, and the Jebusite and termites. He said, I'll put an angel before you and I'll drive all your enemies out. Boy, I tell you what, that is a good deal, don't you think? How many of you say that would be a great deal? Awesome deal. Awesome deal. Awesome deal. Go up to the land of flowing with milk and honey. I mean, he said, I'll send an angel before you. I'm going to drive your enemies out, and I want you to go enjoy the land of milk and honey. Wouldn't everybody want that? That's not all he said. What else did he say? The very next thing that he said, I will not go with you. Because if I go with you, I'm going to wind up destroying you because of your stubbornness. So here's the thing about it. We can have all the goodness of God in our lives and not have his presence. That's how good he is. But he told Moses, he said, but I won't go with you. As good a deal as that was, as good a deal as that seemed, he said, I'll destroy your enemies. You'll be able to go into the land that I swore that you'd have. Just get them up and take them on. But I'm not going with you. Verse 4, when the people heard this sad word. See, Moses went and told him what God said. When the people heard this sad, this word sad means troublesome. It's full of distress. It's grievous. When the people heard this sad word, they went into mourning and they started taking off all the gold that they'd put on them. They started grieving. They started mourning because they realized the presence of God is not going beyond this point. Even though life looks like it's good. But without his presence, it goes on, it's in verse 7 that Moses took the tent and pitched the tent outside the camp and from at a distance, and he came in and he entered the tent, and it said when he entered the tent at that time, said it hadn't left yet, the cloud of his presence, the manifest presence of God, would come to the entrance of the tent, would fall from heaven to the entrance of the tent, knowing God's presence is right there. As Moses would win, and the people would stand and worship because God's manifest presence is beginning to be seen, beginning to be shown. But then they realize he ain't going with us. He entered the tent, and the cloud descended and sat at the entrance of the tent. And its Bible said, and the Lord spoke with Moses. And verse 11 said, the Lord spoke with Moses face to face, just as a man speaks to his friend. Now, this word face to face does not mean face to face. That word means he spoke freely. He spoke directly. He didn't speak through an angel. He didn't speak through a dream. He didn't speak. He spoke to Moses inside the tent as friends would speak to each other. He spoke intimately. He spoke plainly. He spoke directly. What's Moses doing? Moses is interceding. Because later on he says, if you don't go with us, don't send us from here. Don't let us go anywhere from there if you don't go with us. He'd already heard you can go into the promised land. You can have all this goodness. You can go into all of that. But Moses said, if you don't go with us, don't send us from this place. He says, he goes on and he says, I pray thee, here he is praying again. He said, I pray thee, if I found favor in your sight, let me know your ways that I may know you. What does that mean? That means you can know the word, but you don't know his ways. The Bible says Moses, the people, Israel, knew his acts, what he did, his acts, but Moses knew his ways. Why is that? Because you know what he's asking for? I'm asking you for a fresh revelation in my life of who you are. I want to know your way, how you do things. I want to know how your heart beats. I want to know your ways, because if I know your ways, I'll know you. That's what he says. If I know your ways, I'll know you. So he's asking for a fresh revelation from God. Why? He don't want this thing about him not going with us. If I found favor in your sight, consider too that the nation, they're your people. So he intercedes he prays for his well-being, and he prays for the people's well-being. And then the Lord said this. Listen to this. My presence shall go with you. And I will give you rest. Because Moses goes on and he says, because if you don't go with us, if your presence does not go with me, wherever I go from here, the people will not distinguish that I am different from them. You can know all the Bible you want to know. And we should know the Bible. We should have knowledge. We should have all. You can have all the Bible and not carry His presence, and they're still not going to know that you're any different. What makes the difference? His presence. God's goodness can be all around you, and you not know His presence, and you don't have His presence. Even today, you can know the Bible from beginning to end and not know His presence. Because you don't know His ways. We've got to learn the ways of God to know Him. Now we need the Bible. I'm not discounting the Bible. Y'all need to hear me plain. We've got to do that. We've got to know the Word of God. But we've got to know His presence. See, the fruit of the Spirit is the nature of who He is. And when you know His goodness, and you know His goodness is chasing you down, we need to understand we have the ability to be able to have a divine advantage. See, for we know that all things work together for the good, there's that word good, of those who love God and are called according to His purpose. You know the fresh look that I've got from that this week? That no matter what I'm going through, no matter how I feel, no matter how hard it gets, no matter if the war is huge, no matter what it is, He is allowing me to go through that in order to bring me, because I love Him, He's allowing that to bring me to my purpose. He's allowing that to bring me to my purpose, which is all good. So when I start feeling those things, I start getting hit with this and hit with that. The awakening in me now with the revelation of God concerning that is I know that He's turning this for me to get to my purpose. He's using this for me to get to my purpose. And the calling that He's called me to do, to fulfill that. It's not to take me out. It's not to hurt me. It's not to discourage me. He just wants me to know that no matter what I'm going through, goodness has already chased me down, taken over me, and overwhelming me. And He said, well, even what you're going through now, I'm calling you to the greater purpose of who you are in Him. Then Moses goes on down and he says, so you say you're going with us? I'm going with you. Then show me, here's where it says, show me your glory. What you just told me has absolutely changing more of my life. And I'm willing to go. This is my surrender. Whatever you want me to do, whatever you want me to say, this is my surrender. That's what he's saying. Show me your glory. Show me your character. Show me your nature. And he says, and it goes on, he says, he answered him in verse 19. He said, I will make all my goodness pass before you. I will make all my goodness pass before you, but you can't see me face to face. Why is that? You can't contain it in the natural. And you and I cannot contain it in the natural. But guess what? You can in the new creation. The fullness of God you cannot contain in the natural. Moses couldn't. Matter of fact, he had to put a veil on his face. You all remember that? Put a veil on his face and all that. But you and I can contain. Listen to this. You and I can contain his fullness. I need a scripture for that. Okay. I'll give you one. I'll give you more than one. Ephesians 3 says this, Christ dwelling in our hearts through faith, we're being rooted and grounded in his love, and we're able to comprehend with all the saints the breadth and the length and the height and the depth, and to know the love of Christ which surpasses knowledge, that you may be filled with the fullness of God. The fullness of God. The new creation is designed for the fullness of God. You don't have a little bit of Jesus. You've got all of him. And you don't have a little small Jesus. You've got the fullness of who he is inside your spirit, trying his best to get us to live out in our soul, in our mind, our will, in our emotions, in our thinking, in our choices. Surely goodness and mercy. The Bible says in Psalm 27, said, I would have lost heart, I would have despaired unless I had believed that I would see the goodness of the Lord in the land of the living. If I had not believed that I would see the goodness of God, I would have given up. That's David. David had been announced that he was going to be the king. And the present king was trying to kill him. Chased him. Trying to take his life. Had I not believed that I would see the goodness of God in the land of the living, I would have given up. It's important that we see the goodness of God where we live. The Bible says, do not pay back evil for evil to anyone. Do not be overcome by evil, but overcome evil with good. What does that mean? And I'm closing. What does that mean? It means this. It is with God's goodness that I overcome evil and put his love on display. It is God's goodness that I overcome evil and demonstrate his joy to others. It is God's goodness. It is with God's goodness that I overcome evil and share my peace that is beyond my understanding. It is with God's goodness that I overcome evil and display patience in front of people, knowing that God's about to do something and I'm ready for it. It is with God's goodness that I overcome evil and manifest his kindness to everyone that's unkind to me. It is with God's goodness that I overcome evil and demonstrate his goodness everyone else. So with this mindset, no matter where you go, no matter where he sends you, no matter what you run into, it is because of God's goodness that people are able to taste what you have and know that God is good. Now, I don't know. Maybe there's somebody here that has the goodness of God all around them. but they don't have his presence. You only have his presence. You only have his presence when you surrender your life to him. And you turn from the sin that you're in. See, people get so confused about that. God makes it so simple. Just turn from that. See, the only reason he exposes our sin and our sinful nature is out of his mercy. Because he's ready, he's wanting you to come. See, it is the goodness and the kindness of God that leads people to repentance. Maybe there's somebody today that says, you know, I have felt God's goodness and my life's pretty good. I don't have that much, my life's pretty good, but I don't have his presence. And I want that. I want him to live in me, to guide me, to direct me. And I want him to be my shepherd. I want to be able to make the declaration, the Lord, my shepherd. If that's you, I want you to just stand to your feet. Today's your day. If that's you, you want to do that. You want to do that right now. You want to do it right where you are, not wait. You want it right now. Anybody, just standing to your feet. God bless. I want you to come down. Come down. Come back. Come right here, Brother Doug. Come right here. Come right here. See, this is a day that the goodness of God has been shown to you. And you're said, I want God. I want God. Come on, Brother Doug. Come on up here. God's been good to me, but I'm not carrying his presence. The day's changing for all of you. Changing for all of you. This song that we sing, this is your surrender. Your life's going to be totally different after today. Totally different. Why? Because with all the goodness, with all the stuff that he's given you, with all the stuff that you're experiencing, you now are saying, that's not all I want. I want him more than I want any of that. Anybody else? Real quickly, come on. Anybody else? Doug, you wanna say something? You wanna say something to them? You wanna lead them and is anybody else here not sure? If you're not sure you're born again, come on up. If you're not sure. Amen. God bless you. While he does that, God bless you. God bless you. Ain't he good? Ain't God good? Let's stand up as he's talking to them. Let's stand up and just worship him. See, the goodness of God, the kindness of God, leadeth to repentance. All we got to do is show them the goodness. It'll touch their heart. And here's the thing about it. The word good, the meaning of the word good is to, it means to give a divine advantage. It's in our, when we have God's goodness and we recognize God's goodness, he gives us a divine advantage. And every time we're good to somebody and we show the goodness of God, the kindness of God to somebody, it opens up a divine advantage to the person that is receiving the goodness for them to respond to. Y'all, I know it's getting late. If you will, before you go, I want you to just pause right where you are, and I want you to pray for all of these that are here. Before you leave, you're free to go after that, but I want you to pray. I want you to personally pray for all of these that are here. Would you do that before you leave? Brenda, can I get you to come here? Vicky, can you come here? This is my surrender. Andy, can you come right here? This is my surrender. Here is where Austin, can you come here? Every worry and every doubt. This is my surrender. And I will be. See, they're making room for him. Do whatever you want to. Make room for God to speak to your life and just be ready. Just be ready to do what he wants you to do.
To do whatever you want to. Do whatever you want to. Here is where I lay down. Every burden, every crown. This is my surrender. This is my surrender. Here is where I lay down. Every lie and every doubt. This is my surrender. And I will make room for you to do whatever you want to.
How many of you have done it your way before and found out that his way is a whole lot better? His way is a whole lot better.
Break down the walls of all my religion.
Listening to the Father's Vineyard podcast. If you'd like more information about Father's Vineyard, please visit us 24/7 at www.fathersvineyard.org, or you can call the office at 828-287-2868. Thanks again.